Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors here with 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our play-by-play call of the day, Austin Matthews. What a start.
Rebound along the boards is played high to center ice. Here's Matthews with Nylander. Two on one. Back to Matthews. He scores! Austin Matthews! The kid's on fire!
And the Leafs lose again! He scored. That's Joe Bowen, who does a great job on TSN Radio 1050 in Toronto. Ottawa still won the game 5-4. He scored all four goals. And he still lost. You have a guy who scores four goals and you lose. It's just, that's not fun.
Not fun.
All right. Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, and the Patriot News joins us. Greg, back-to-back wins for Penn State. What have you seen the last 2 weeks where you say, you know what, they're better?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that jump off the page immediately. First, I think we saw improved play from the offensive line and defensive line. It's easy to look back over the first 4 weeks of the season and say that maybe those guys weren't having as much success physically in the run game on offense and against the run game on defense, but they really improved over the last 2 weeks against Minnesota and Maryland. There seemed to be an increased sense of physicality, and that really helped Penn State win at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. So I think that was a plus. Obviously, getting the run game going against Maryland was key. The Terps refused to stack the box a lot of the times, and Penn State made them pay for it over and over again, so that was a plus. And I think just overall, the special teams has been a major upgrade from year one, or last year rather, to this year. You know, Blake Gilligan's been very good. Tyler Davis remains perfect. So there's plenty to point to, but those three things are really the ones that jump off the page.
Trace McSorley keeps his head up and doesn't always want to just tuck it down and run. But what has his running ability meant when he's decided to use it? And what's the domino been for Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, I think the thing that jumps out, Steve, is that the fact that defenses now have to account for him. I don't really think that was something they did over the first 4 weeks. Now, granted, there were times when teams made sure that they accounted for where he was, whether he was just running after he handed the ball off or whether he was actually moving around the pocket or even running on a design play. But more often than not, it felt like that teams just sort of ignored him and focused on Saquon Barkley, whereas in the last 2 weeks, it really appeared the team stopped blitzing out of the slot or right off the edge, and they really kept the guy back to make sure that Trace McSorley wasn't going to hurt them with his legs, and he still managed to do so. So I think that just the more legitimacy the offense gets with him as a threat with his legs, the better off it is, both in terms of success for Saquon Barkley and in terms of success for the offense itself. He's obviously proven to be very good with his arm. The numbers speak for itself in that regard. But the more that teams have to worry about him as a runner, the more teams take off their focus on either Saquon Barkley or the wide receivers, and that's when you're really going to see this offense thrive just like it did against Maryland.
The Andrew Nelson injury, what are some things that just jumped to you right away? First of all, about the young man, because you have an opportunity to talk to him in media rooms and so forth, and also what he means up front.
Yeah, it's disappointing for a lot of reasons. This is a kid that obviously came to Penn State at a pretty unique time, and he stayed here through all of it. He's really been a leader of the offensive line. There's no question about that. So it's disappointing, I think, for not only him, but for a lot of people that follow the program as well. He always answered questions. He always came out and, you know, was sort of the face of the program, or at least the offensive line. So a lot of credit to him for that, and hopefully he recovers quickly and healthy as possible. So as for the offensive line, it's sort of interesting at this point because Penn State has a decision to make on whether it's going to burn Will Fries' red shirt or not. Listening to James Franklin talk after practice yesterday, I get the sense that they really would prefer not to do that. Of course, another injury is going to force their hand. There's no doubt about that. It's much like the Cam Brown situation at linebacker. But I think Paris Palmer, Chaz Wright, you're going to see a lot of those two guys and a rotation would make the most sense, kind of like what they did with Derek Dowery and Connor McGovern at guard earlier in the year. So that seems to be the most likely case going forward.
Ohio State will be here a week from Saturday at Beaver Stadium. That's always a big recruiting time as well. How many people might they get here, Greg, and how significant to you is a weekend like that, just in terms of getting them into that stadium, into that atmosphere?
Yeah, just starting to put the list together, so they don't have a real good feel yet. But generally, the biggest home game of the year gets 80 to 100 recruits. Seems to be these primetime games, especially when Ohio State comes to town. There's no shortage of requests to visit for this one. So I'd expect the number to be in this range. The interesting thing, Steve, is that they also play Iowa and Michigan State at home. Now, Michigan State's a little bit tougher. It's Thanksgiving weekend. Recruits, of course, some of them play on Saturdays of that week because of the holiday. Some of them just, of course, don't want to travel. They want to be at home with their family or travel to see family members. So that makes it a little bit tough. But the Iowa game's sort of a destination, too. So if you can't get kids on campus for the Ohio State game for whatever reason, you have two good opportunities left, Iowa being the priority and then Michigan State. So it's really worked out well for Penn State. There's times when the schedule just doesn't really do you any recruiting favors. I think it does this year, both with when the bye week comes and allows coaches to get on the road at the midway point of the high school season as well. And then with the way the schedule sets up for home games in the back half of the season, a lot of kids like to travel, especially the ones that maybe don't make the playoffs or have their season end early. They're able to travel more and more, and Penn State is going to have opportunities to get them on campus. So the Ohio State game, you know, from a priority standpoint, it's at the utmost. And you'll see that with the number of kids on campus. But the good news for Penn State is if scheduling doesn't work out, they have two more key dates left as well.
Greg, there are proposals that the NCAA committee is endorsing. They are not fact yet, but there are at least proposals they're endorsing. One is limiting satellite camps down to 10, and the other deals with early signing dates. What is your opinion? We'll start with the satellite camp. You attended one this summer. What's your opinion on reducing that number?
Yeah, you know, again, I think it depends on how you look at it, whether you think it's an opportunity for as many kids as possible to work out in front of college coaches without putting the travel bill that it would take to usually travel like a place to stay college as opposed to maybe being 30 minutes to an hour or less away from their home, compared to just the fact of how crazy recruiting has become and how much time it takes up for prospects and their families and also coaches and their families. To me, I don't really know if it makes a huge difference. You know, Penn State with the 10, it might affect things a little bit for them, but they weren't going terribly beyond that number to begin with. So I don't know if it would impact Penn State a whole lot. As for some other schools, Michigan, of course, excuse me, Steve, being the main one, you know, they would obviously be greater impacted by that than a Penn State would. But, you know, I think I could go either way on it, to be quite honest with you. I can see both sides of the argument, and no matter what they decide to do, I think, you know, kids will still be helped by the fact that there's satellite camps at all. So as long as they don't get rid of them completely, I'm on board with, you know, any reasonable reduction they have.
Next would be with the early signing. I think they were talking about two of them, weren't they? Early signing yes. date or early signing dates. What's your opinion on that? And what have, over the years, what kind of info have you gathered from prospective student athletes about how they feel about early signing dates?
Yeah, it's a really individualized case, and I'll give you two examples. Look at a kid like Mike Miranda, the offensive line commit from Ohio in Penn State's class of 2017. He's been committed for a long time now. He's come to, I believe he's made every Penn State home game this year. He may have missed one, but I don't think that's the case. But anyway, regardless, he's one of those kids that's going to attend almost every home game he can. He's going to get to campus as often as possible. That's the kind of kid that's not going anywhere. He wants to come to Penn State. He's not going to change his mind. No school's going to come in and offer him that, you know, makes him want to go anywhere else. So why not let that kid sign and just get it done with and out of the way? Of course, another example then would be Derek Pitts, the kid from West Virginia who committed and then obviously decommitted. Now, at the time that he committed, you know, he would have been outside of the first period that is proposed for the early signing period and before the late period. So it's not a huge deal, but it just goes to show that kids change their mind a lot nowadays, and it's hard to really put a system in place that locks them in without any sort of way for them to back out of it, whether it be because of coaching change, whether it's because of family situations. There was a kid in two recruiting classes ago that was all ready to go to one place, and then a family member got sick, and he felt compelled to stay closer to home, so he was able to back out at the last minute. If he would have signed, of course, that'd be a lot more of a headache. So I don't know. I think there needs to be more discussion about it. There needs to be a deep dive into how it would have changed the official visit period. There would need to be more discussion, I think, about how the offer process goes. Right now, there's verbal offers, there's written offers, there's non-committable offers that, you know, sort of muddies the water a bit. So I think there's more study that needs to be done before anything really locked in. The recruiting process is sped up and convoluted as it is. So I think any changes to it could be good, but they have to, their effects would have to be really researched and thought out first.
You try to be judicious in your contacts, but you still want to obviously have contact to get some answers along the way. Have players indicated to you that sometimes all the contact from coaches, media, even from fans gets to be too much, or do most of them embrace it?
It's certainly, there's some in the former group that just stop answering things from everyone. Now, granted, they're more likely to talk to coaches than anybody else in a situation like that. But there are some kids that just, you know, get fed up with it. They're in their senior season. They want to win a state title or go to districts, go to playoffs, anything along those lines. And they really sort of narrow things down as it relates to who they talk to and how they spend their time between classes and high school and recruiting and coaches and then media and everything else. So, you know, I think you see a lot of it die down in season. There's a lot of kids that, you know, you can mostly get a feel for who wants to talk and who doesn't, and you sort of go after the kids for interviews based off of the feel that you get when you talk to them, their family, their coaches. So there's certainly some kids that really enjoy it. There's certainly some kids that really don't, and a lot of kids fall right in the middle where, you know, they'll give you a few minutes here and there. They'll give colleges as much time as they need, and that's sort of just how they play things. So there's no real terrible rhyme or reason to it. It's just, you know, the preference of the kid and the family and really how many schools are recruiting him, because that includes, or that ups, rather, the number of coaches that want to talk to him, the number of media that want to talk to him. So that plays a role in things as well.
Greg, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Talk to you guys soon.
Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, and the Patriot News. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every 41 seconds, someone purchases an F-Series truck. Hurry to Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest before someone gets your truck. Now is the best time to buy your next new Ford truck from SMC. Choose from over four city blocks of new Ford. See for yourself why Sunbury Motors has sold over 40,000 trucks. Trucktoberfest means savings up to 12 and a half grand on new F-150s. Every new F-150 at SMC will be equipped with a genuine Ford bedliner and a complimentary tonneau cover. Trucktoberfest means $4,000 off every 2017 Ford Escape, and they're priced as low as $20,880. Trucktoberfest means 0% financing for up to 72 months is available. Trucktoberfest means the best time to buy your next new Ford truck. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. It's Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest. So hurry in before someone gets your truck.
A lot of college football coming up this week. But my brother joins us tomorrow for picks. Some interesting games on tap, by the way. I have no idea which games we're picking, but I'll give you a quick thumbnail and some games. It's the third Saturday in October, so that means Tennessee is going to be taking on Alabama. The game's going to be in Knoxville. 3:30 game tomorrow.
That is a game we'll be picking.
Saturday. Okay, it's a game.
Yep.
Here's the biggest issue in the game. The biggest issue in the game is Josh Dobbs at quarterback. Obviously, he produces really well. I mean, he produces really well at a high level. You look at, you know, he is tied for fifth in the nation in most touchdowns responsible for. Okay. He's also tied for second in the nation in most fumbles with 10. The Alabama defense has 13 fumble takeaways this year. He's turned over 10 times, 7 on fumbles. Alabama's beaten them the last 9 times they've played. Amazing. Ohio State, Wisconsin. Okay, Wisconsin's okay. Gets off to that great start, right? And in fact, when you look at Wisconsin, when they have played a team that is 5-0 or better in the last 10 years, they've only beaten one. That's Ohio State. Everybody else they lost to. Twice to Ohio State, once to Iowa, once to TCU, and Penn State in 2008. That Penn State 2008 went in there and just blasted them at Camp Randall that night. Remember, Derek Williams took one back for a touchdown. Derek Clark had a huge game. That was an easy night. They did jump at the end of the third quarter. There was nobody there to jump.
The students would just jump and then go home.
We're out of here.
I was wrong about the Badgers a couple of weeks ago. I thought, you know, they were vastly overrated going into the game with Sparty. But, yeah, they've really impressed me so far.
Nah, you know what? But here's the issue they have when you play Ohio State. You have to have the ability, at least going in, that you can score. And that is not the Wisconsin MO. That's the problem.
Well, that's the key. I said so far. You're going into a completely different animal going into the shoe for sure.
Now, Wisconsin controls the clock. They control the clock. They're 13th in FBS in time of possession, 34-28. Right? Now, when they lost to Michigan, they only had the ball 24-19. You know that? I mean, that was one of the keys to that game. They lost 14-7, and it doesn't matter which quarterback they use. If Hornibrook's the quarterback, they're averaging 4.7 yards a play. If Houston's the quarterback, they average 5.4 yards a play. There's no real difference between the two.
I said going in the shoe, my bad. It's at Camp Randall Saturday night, but we knew that.
Yeah, it's at Camp Randall.
Yep, and game day will be there too, but we're not going to watch that. So,
well, like I said, you know what? It doesn't interest me anymore.
Yeah.
It just, they're not bringing anything to the table. I mean, some guy sitting there saying, you know, here's my bear pick for the week. I'm like going, I could care less who you pick. Now, get this. Ohio State has won 19 consecutive road games. How impressive is that?
Well, it's funny you bring up bear picks. Bear is like the producer of the show behind the cameras. And you think like year in, year out, yeah, when they expanded the show from 2 hours to three, you know, it's like they're trying to, okay, what can we do to improve the show, add a new feature to it?
I understand that.
Yeah. And it's funny, there's even times during that primetime broadcast they bring the bear in for, you know, it's like they're trying to cross-promote game day during the game itself.
Yeah, I know. Look, like I said, I'm not a programmer. It's not.
I get why they do it. I get why they do it. It's just to, you know, market their brand, but, you know, I could do without it during the game.
I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say I'm a huge college football fan. And they've lost my interest.
Well, there's probably a lot of people that just watch the game itself, and they're like, okay, who's Bear? Who's this guy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but there's too many...
moving parts? Variables?
No, there's too many of the moving parts that aren't adding anything. How about that?
That aren't necessary.
They're not adding anything. I think you got to be able to add something. I mean, yeah, but, you know, but that's me. I mean, I understand the entertainment part. I got it. And, you know, you can't sit there for 3 hours and be all serious. My goodness, I'm on 2 hours a day. Everybody knows I'm not serious every second here. But I don't know. It's just how they're presenting it, how the show's going to flow. It's just, yeah, whatever.
Okay, so there's two that we're going to cover tomorrow during our picks. The other two is going to be North Carolina, Miami, and Ole Miss and Arkansas be the other two.
Well, NC State's got Clemson. Clemson's won 44 in a row against unranked opponents. That's impressive. Duke's at Louisville. Nebraska's at Indiana. Let's see. Kansas is at Baylor. The line there is 200. Just kidding. Ole Miss at Arkansas. All right. Now, get this. Now, Ole Miss is an 8-point favorite in this game. All right. They're 3-2 and ranked 12th. Arkansas is 4-2 and ranked 22nd. Now, under Brett Bielema, Arkansas is about to play its 22nd ranked opponent. How about that? Okay. They are second only to Alabama in playing ranked opponents since 2013. Alabama's 19-5 in those games. You know, and Alabama's playing their 25th this week. We say, hey, 19-5 equals 24. But they're playing their 25th this week with Tennessee. Arkansas is going to play its 22nd this week. So in the first 21, they're 5-16. It's a little difference. And Ole Miss has been great in the first half. They are outscoring their opponents better than 18 points a game in the first half. But what happens to them in the second half? They have been outscored by better than 6 points per second half this year. It's 117th in FBS. And a big reason why is turnovers. The first, you know how I talk about giveaway, takeaway all the time? I mean, almost ad nauseum I talk about it. I realize that. But in the first half, when they're outscoring opponents by better than 18 points, Ole Miss is a plus 3 giveaway takeaway. When they're being outscored by 6 points in the second half, they're a minus 4 giveaway takeaway. It's huge. That's huge. You got Colorado State at Boise, North Carolina, Miami. Interesting game. Miami has been great in the first quarter this year. They've outscored their opponents 45-0 in the first quarter, so they get out of the gate. They really do. I think Brad Kaye is a difference in this one. I tell you, I was disappointed in North Carolina last week. I know it was in a monsoon, but North Carolina's good on the road, though.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keyworth 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. 800-795-9565. We're in our bye week mode. This means Sean has his feet up. Just relaxing, getting it done. Playoff baseball tonight. Chargers and Broncos tonight. Playoff game is game 5, 5th and deciding game between the Dodgers and the Nationals. Max Scherzer calls it the biggest start of his career tonight. And he'll be on the mound for the Dodgers. The Dodgers would not reveal who was starting this game till very late today. Hill told everybody yesterday. Whoops. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But that's who goes tonight. That's the playoff game. That's on Fox, by the way. And Peyton Manning and the Broncos. I'm sorry. Trevor Siemian and the Broncos. I'm sorry, did you say you're not going to watch that? And, of course, Philip Rivers and the Chargers will have found all sorts of ways to lose so far. All sorts of ways. So, there you go.
NBCSN just announced a little while ago, since Austin Matthews scored 4 goals in his first ever game as a professional hockey player last night, they decided Saturday night to air the Toronto Maple Leafs home opener.
There you go. Love you, Leafs.
After you get your Notre Dame preview on NBCSN, that'll go right into Maple Leafs hockey and see if Austin Matthews can keep it going. I mean, any hockey player starting off a season with four goals in one night, but a kid who was the overall first number one pick scoring 4 goals, that's just...
You know what? I'll probably watch a couple minutes of it, but I am going to watch Ohio State and Wisconsin. But that's one thing about, you know, I could talk about, you know, hey, game days. I've kind of floated away from game day now. I don't watch SportsCenter anymore. I've floated away from that. But when it comes to games, no. That's a different story. You put all the games on you want. I'd rather watch. That's what I want to watch. I want to actually watch the games, watch the action.
Actually, I will not be watching game day on Saturday morning. I will be getting up early by 7:30 to watch the last two Premier League soccer champions square off, Chelsea and Leicester City, Saturday morning, 7:25. I will be watching that, and then got to go to a wedding. Actually, not too far from you, other side of State College. They're Penn State fans, and they when they booked the wedding last year, they checked the calendar, and they chose the bye week.
Oh, good for you. All right, so...
so there you go.
That sounds like an active day. we're going to watch it. Leicester City's playing Chelsea. Okay.
Yep. Right.
Then the wedding.
It's my wife's best friend's son. He's getting married on Saturday.
Wife's best friend's son. I'm just trying to check the lineage here.
Yep.
Tell him I said hi.
I sure will.
Yeah,
they're Penn State fans. They'll know you. Oh, yeah.
It'll mean nothing to them, but that's all right.
Oh, it will. Trust me, it will.
Tell them I said best of luck to them. So, best of luck to them. We talked about the wedding on the air. It was great.
We did.
Yeah,
the other big soccer matchup, but it's not till Monday. It's going to be Man United and Liverpool, but that's not till Monday. Same time as we're on. So.
Oh, believe me. Okay. I walk in the booth every Saturday, right? And of course, Roger and Jeff get there before I do, long before I do, way before I do. Okay. And I walk in, and what's on TV every single time? Liverpool. That's Tarman's team. Jack and I feel like we're Liverpool hostages.
Could be a long season then for you guys. Yeah, Liverpool's got a really good shot. Klopp's got them playing now. It's now Klopp's team.
No, but to be honest with you, they're turning us off watching them. We can't. It's too much. We're like, I can't watch this. In fact, I even said, why don't you put game day on?
And they're like, rrr.
Why'd you do that? It'll be great. 1-800-795-9565 is our number. Next week, Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State, on. Jack Hamm on the show next week. Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, all on the show next week. So that's what we've done.
I've got one or two in the hopper I'll share with you after the show.
Okay, good. So that's next week on the show, heading into Ohio State. But I will definitely watch the Ohio State Wisconsin game on Saturday night. It's at 8:00. That'll be great. No problem. There's not really a lot of other games Alabama, Tennessee, I have some interest in. And this scrimmage thing down in Altoona, believe me, this is not going to be getting in the boat for a 3-hour tour. They're going to go down, play the thing, get out. I'm probably going to take the bus. I don't think I'm going to drive. After a while, you just even though it's only 40 miles, sometimes you're like, I'm not in the mood to drive.
So, if you're on the bus, will you discuss anything with Coach Chambers on the way down, or no? Or
usually when I'm on the bus, no, we don't usually talk too much on the bus. Usually, we'll talk after practice. We'll talk before we do the pregame show. We'll talk after shoot around. He knows I'm there, for goodness sakes. He knows I see what's going on. That's why I like to say, if I have a dollar for every time James Franklin, I'll ask a question and he'll say, well, you're there. I'm like, oh, yes, but they're not. That's why I asked the question. Okay. I do know the answer to the question already. I do.
Some would love to be there, and they've told us that.
Yes. Okay. I think part of that is that, in other words, he's giving an answer. In other words, I could back the answer up because, I'm there. And the same thing with Pat. Pat will say, you're there. I'm like, come on. Yeah, I know. I realize where I am. Although I had to meet with, they did a, There's a silent auction done in February, which naturally I said yes to. And, of course, you know, I completely forgot about it. Oh, yeah, yeah, fine. Yeah, sure, I'll do it. Where I had to have dinner with the winner of the silent auction. And so they informed me of this. It was before the...
Oh, that's what you just did like a Friday or two ago, right?
Yeah, Minnesota game.
Right.
Awesome people. Really nice. Really nice. Father, son, grandmother. Unbelievably great people. But I said when they came up and they informed me of this, I said, oh, yeah. I said yes to that? I said, yeah. I said, oh, okay, all right, I'll be there. I said, I don't see what the big thrill is. I said, I've had dinner with myself every night my entire life. I said, I don't see the thrill.
My wife works late tonight, so it'll be dinner with myself tonight. Unless the cats come down the steps and decide to join in.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, big decisions tonight. I mean, I'm going to go baseball tonight for a good period of time.
Yeah, me too.
It's a fifth and deciding game, so I'm going to go with that tonight.
Yep, I'll do that and watch some Pens Caps as well. So, well, nice little auction. This is a nice little auction suggestion. Maybe like you and or Coach Franklin or you and or Coach Chambers. Nice little round of golf out the blue course. That'd be a nice little auction item.
James isn't really a golfer. Pat does it for Coaches versus Cancer, but like they don't really get a chance to play a lot.
I figured, you know, if any either one would be a bigger golfer, I figured it'd have been Pat. But
But their schedules,
you know,
I did something the other day. You know, the Blue White Tailgate, Todd Sadowski, Trey Bauer, me, Andrew Callisto. Okay, so we decided let's play a round of golf. So we went out. This is a little while ago. We go out to play a round of golf. We decided to do same format that Jack and I were in with Mike Wagner and Ron Moeller. You know, we're just going to play match play, you know, best ball.
Yeah, but not as many stakes on the line for this, though.
but and
yeah, but that was an 18-hole end of August passion play.
believe me, you know, when you get in the cart and your broadcast partner looks at me and says, look, we can't lose to these guys. Okay, I got it. All right. And nor did we. But so I was paired with Todd Sadowski, and Todd's a really good player. And I'm chipping out of a bunker, and he had his back to me, and I hit him with the ball. But he was near the hole, for one thing, but I hit him like, I said, great. I said, some teammate I am. Huh? It was like fabulous.
Just say, when the suit catches wind of this, look out.
Well, it's a tougher target. I mean, he's not suit size. Now, we did win. Okay, we did win. Sadowski carried us in the front. He won four holes, and they won four holes, and we were even at the turn. And I didn't do really anything in the front. But on the back, I won the 11th, I won the 14th, I won the 15th, I won the 18th, and we won. So... I was out of the sand trap, like whack. I'm like, great. And this is a hole, by the way, where I'm really out of the hole. Todd won the hole. He ended up getting a par. I'm thinking, great. You know, the guy that like wins the hole. I'm like, I'm almost killing him. Fabulous. But oh well, we have our moments. We have our moments. Okay. But the bye week is downtime. I will do some basketball stuff. Today is Big Ten Media Day in D.C. Yesterday was Men's Basketball Media Day. I know I voted on some old Big Ten team to start with. I don't know if they released that or not. I never did get an email. I thought it was today in D.C., so... So I don't know if they released that. They may have, and which doesn't matter. It's a preseason thing. You have to pick 10 players and the preseason player of the year. I'm like, okay.
What's one or two from the list, though, that'll jump off the page that we will hear a lot from this season? Conference-wise.
The usual suspects, Mello Trimble of Maryland, Nigel Hayes of Wisconsin, Caleb Swanigan of Purdue. A couple of Ohio State guys are pretty good. Mark Loving is going to his senior year. I think he'll be pretty good. Thomas Bryant from Indiana would be a guy. Really good player. Blackman returns for Indiana. He's really good. Peter Jock of Iowa. Shep Garner of Penn State, of course, would be another one. Let's see. Malcolm Hill of Illinois. Just trying to do this off the top of my head. Eight guys from Michigan State. Michigan State does not have the established older star this year. That's interesting. Their talent is really, they're bottom heavy in terms of their talent, in terms of the class they're in. They have a couple of freshmen that are coming in that are really good. I think Michigan is balanced for the most part. Lost a couple guys during the offseason. It does not help them. Let's see. I'm trying to think of anybody else. I mean, I know I've missed somebody here. Hey, Northwestern's got a couple of guys that are playing really well. And you got the one guard that had committed to Indiana State, been a starter for them. He's a good player. But losing Trey Demps is huge. He gave him the outside shot. Just trying to think. Nebraska, nobody off the top of my head because White transferred out, you know. Minnesota, no. I mentioned Hayes, obviously. And, oh, I'll tell you, Ethan Happ from Wisconsin. Big kid, really, really good player. Northwestern, no. Let's see. Illinois, I mentioned Hill. Nunn's no longer with them. I mentioned Michigan State, Michigan. I mentioned Ohio State. I mentioned Maryland. Corey Sanders at Rutgers is a really good player. Really good, as a matter of fact. So, I mean, those are some of the guys off the top of my head that I think are key contributors. Swanigan, of course, is at Purdue, and a guy that's under the radar is, remember, Spike Albrecht transferred to Purdue because they really need stabilization at point guard, and I think that's a big, big part for them. It's one thing about this, you're always trying to keep up with, you got to keep up with a lot of teams along the way. Now, Harry Giles, the number one overall recruit, who, of course, is with Duke, right now is out. And I don't know if he'll be back for the Penn State game or not. But I think he had a scope done on his knee, and he's out 6 weeks. And I don't know. And that was at the beginning of October. So I don't know if that means he's playing or not playing against Penn State at the Mohegan Sun. We will take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Right down the stretch we come. Great to have you with us today. Next week, Jack Ham, Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State, Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, all on next week's show, plus, of course, our high school football previews, plus we'll have writers on the show next week, and big week leading up to Ohio State at Beaver Stadium at 8. So we were trying to work out a tee time for that day. What do you think? I'm just going to sit around all day and just watch football?
No.
Jack and I are like, Jack and I are trying to work out a tee time here. So that's, we think we've got one here. So, but, it takes 4 or 5 hours. Then you're all good. What's the advanced forecast here? Saturday, 56. Fine, good. All right, good. It's all good.
Raj will keep the press box warm. You're covered. You're good.
Raj. I'm here. Stop sweating. I made it. Poor guy. I think I'd drive him nuts. I think I'm not early enough, and I'm too calm for him.
It's all right. It's okay. Hey, you know what?
I trust those guys. I never worry about a single thing they do, ever. I just, all these guys are so good. I just have to worry about myself. I don't worry too much about myself. Yeah, you're sitting at home going, yeah, we know we've seen you. You don't worry.
Hey, more time for you to dial in what you got to do to make the broadcast great. That's what it's all about.
I never think about that. I really don't. I don't sit there. I never sit there when the broadcast is over and say, boy, we were really good today. It's like, hey, they won. Hey, they didn't win. It's more about what. Don't ask me why. I don't know why. Jack and I, we've only talked about the broadcast twice ever.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.